We had a wonderful vacation and a good time, but it's always nice to come home and to be back with our family here. So, as always, we look forward to this time together. We're actually going to continue, and I know it's gotten broken up a few times, but I want to continue through the book of Hebrews and our study of Hebrews. So you might just be thinking in the future, okay, the pastor's going to be studying on this, he's going to be talking on this. So, you know, take time maybe to read it yourself and have a little more understanding of what we're talking about as we go through this book of Hebrews. So far as we have gone through the book, we have seen our writer, and as we know, there's uncertainty as to the exact writer. There's some guesses as to who may have written the book of Hebrews, but there's some uncertainty there, so we refer to him as the writer. And we've seen our writer proclaim Jesus as he is the answer. He's the real deal. There's nothing fake about it. Jesus is who he is. He's who he said he is. And he has proved that not only coming out of the grave, but in what he does in our life. And then we learn how the writer of this great book warned us about the dangers of drifting away from God's word and how we can avoid that. Quite simply, don't put your Bible on the shelf and leave it there. We need to be studying God's Word. Then we learned about what is sharper than a two-edged sword, and we learned how God's Word is true and it is correct, and that is spoken from God is very sharp and very very much can cut to the heart of man. He showed us that there's no gray areas when it comes to God, and showed us how to, when applied properly to our lives, the written word of God will expose our true selves. Isn't that a little scary? You open up the Bible, and then you realize that you're reading about yourself. You know, we don't always think about that, but it's part of what we were learning. And today, we continue our study. The writer continues to apply pressure, and we're going to continue on our spiritual growth, and that's what the topic of the sermon today is spiritual growth, and really we're talking about personal spiritual growth. So that brings us up to today's teaching from Hebrews and what we're going to be talking about. If you have your Bibles, or if you have your phones with the Bible on them, if you want to take a look at Hebrews chapter 5, I'm going to be reading just verses 12 through 14 here to start off. It says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have ordained themselves or have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. There again, it's an ouch, because some of you may be sitting here and you may have been sitting here for a lot of years. You may have been walking with God for a lot of years, but you're still an infant. You have failed to accomplish the things that God wants you to accomplish. When we come to Christ, and I'm going to go on because there's going to be more about that in the message, but when we come to Christ, understand this. It's very important. We come as a little child. We come with our eyes wide open. We come with a desire to grow. And if all we take in is milk, in other words, just very basic, simple things, if all we take in is milk, we do not grow. We stay like an infant. And in staying like an infant, we actually become a malnourished infant. We're called to grow. We're called to follow God. I'm going to jump on over here to chapter 6, verse 1. It says, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and faith in God, and of faith in God. I'm doing terrible. I want to start this whole passage over. Beginning with chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and the eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. Look, I love this book. I love the challenge that is here. One of the things that I like the most is the way the writer is very honest, and he just jumps into it. He doesn't beat around the bush. He doesn't try to just fluff things up. He really doesn't even take the time to introduce himself. He just jumps right in, and he tells it like it is. And I believe more of that is needed in the world today. More is needed from lying politicians to a biased media to preachers who water down the gospel with the promises of health, wealth, and prosperity, to everyone worried about political correctness. We often have trouble receiving the truth, so I really admire the writer of this book because he doesn't care about any of that. He's going to put it there, he's going to put it out there, it's the truth, and he's going to say it. And in this chapter, he says to his audience and to us in the process that we need to grow and to mature in our faith. And failing to do so makes us like babies. More importantly, it makes us like malnourished babies. Malnourished spiritually, not physically. He says we need to move from the teachings from the things we like, you know, milk which has no preacher. This is not a good day for me. We need to move away from the milk, folks. We need to move away from a watered-down gospel, from a tickle-your-ears theology. And there's a lot of that out there today. You know, it would be easy for me to come every Sunday and to stand before you and say, oh, you're just wonderful, perfect people. You're great little Christians. And all is well, and you are doing well, and you are okay in God, and God is okay in you. But I'd be lying to you. Because I know my own life, and I'm a sinner. And every single week, I do something that displeases God. Every single day, I do something that does not make God happy. And I've been at it a long time. And the difference in having milk and having meat is those that are striving to have the good meal, having the meat, they're striving to look at their own sins, and they're willing to say, this is a weakness in me, this is a sin in me, this is something that I've got to let go of. God, help me. And then we go into God's Word, and we read into God's Word, and it convicts us of the sin that exists within us. And He says, now let me show you the way. Let me show you a better way that you can have this life you want. And I'm going to tell you something this morning, and I'm not trying to step on anyone's toes. Hear me, please, because I know how these sermons end up sometimes. If anything I say you think pertains to you, it doesn't. If you think I am calling you out personally because of conversations we've had, I'm not. What I'm doing is I'm sharing the Word of God. And I know as sure as I'm sitting here, that there are people in the congregation, those gathered here, that do not want to hear today's message. They don't want the conviction of God. They don't want sin pointed out to them. And most importantly, they do not want to act on that sin. You mean I've got to change? Remember we talked about deal breakers? Sin is the deal breaker. Satan paints sin with glory. And so we sit here and we say, oh, I'm okay, I'm okay. And then the pastor says something and steps on our toe. And, well, I told him that in private. Again, I am not sharing anything or anyone or any conversation we've had. I've been at it too long. I learned years ago not to do it. But another thing that I learned years ago is to preach the truth of the gospel and to not hold back and to let God deal with it. So today, as I say, if you feel like your toes are being stepped on, it's not by me, it's by God. If you have a problem with the message today, the problem is not with me. The problem is with God, because all I'm sharing is His Word. We need to move past the things from that are like milk to the things that need and the need for growth with meat and protein and all of God's Word, and especially the hard stuff. We need to know about God's love. We need to know about His judgment as well. God judges all, not only non-believers, but believers, and we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware that there's some stuff in Scripture that is especially hard stuff. We need to know about God's love, but we need to know about His judgment as well. So I want to break down this passage of Scripture and see how we can apply it to our lives and how the writer's words would apply to us. Let me do a quick recap of chapter 5. Our writer continues on with his teaching concept about Jesus as our high priest. I've not spent a lot of time talking about Jesus as a high priest, but we will have that in some future Sunday mornings. It's something that will be coming. Verse 11, chapter 5 says this: "We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn." We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. Why are we slow to learn? We're slow to learn because we're not willing to dig in and do the work and do the study to get the meat that feeds us and causes us to grow. And the writer is telling his audience that there's a lot more to teach about Jesus as our high priest. There's so much more to teach about living the Christian life. There's so much more to learn. But due to lack of growth and spiritual growth, his audience and those that he speaks to are not ready to hear it. Hebrews and the topics that are taught in it are difficult to understand. And in order to fully comprehend it, we have to be maturing Christians. We must be growing spiritually. And today I want to look at what keeps us from doing that, from growing spiritually, and the results of not growing spiritually. And I hope we see the reasons and the consequences of not growing spiritually. Do you want to stay a baby? There are some that do. There are some that don't want the deep things of Scripture. There's some that just want to hold on to that, "Oh, I'm just a little baby Christian," and they mess up all the time, but they don't try to correct it. Anything that points to them that might cause a change in their life, they don't want it. They stay as babies, and they're malnourished. But here the writer is talking and trying to teach deeper. And you know what? The audience isn't getting it. I hope that's not the case today. This hard-nosed preacher, it comes out. He doesn't hold back even a little bit. He says in no uncertain terms, "I want to show you more, but you're not listening." Now, I'm not going to pick on anybody, but right now there's some in here whose minds are closed. There are some sitting in this room, and this is not condemnation. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm not saying names. But there are some sitting in here right now at this very moment who are not paying attention to one word I'm saying because they don't think it's important and they don't think it applies to them, and they've got other things that they want their mind to be occupied with. Folks, this is church. This is 1 hour. Well, this is a time where we can sit and hear about God and let God speak to us. And if you're not doing it here, where are you doing it? Where? God speaks to us. The Bible says, do not forsake the gathering together of the saints for the purpose of worship. We come together to worship God, to hear His word, and to do what He wants for us. And then what do? We sit down and we start letting our mind go other places. I know everybody's mad at me now. Been there before. But I'll always tell the truth. God speaks to us clearly in His Word. And as I said a few weeks ago, there are no gray areas in God's Word. But when we don't understand what it says, when we don't like what it says, when we don't see the importance of what it says, we quit listening. And there is big danger in that. Thinking that if we don't hear it, then it doesn't apply. If I don't read it, it has no meaning to me. Well, folks, it's not the case. You know, ignorance of the law is not the excuse for breaking it. And sometimes we don't listen because we have not been taught how. And maybe you have never been shown the application of Scripture in your daily life. Maybe someone in your past used big fancy words and they didn't take the time to help you to understand them, so you walked away not understanding what they were. Nobody explained them to you. Maybe no one ever explained the importance of spiritual growth to you. So you became dull in your hearing and it stunted your growth. And in order to grow spiritually, we must sharpen our hearing and our listening skills. Well, that's part of my job. And that's to teach you how. But learning is up to you. I can teach you everything I know that's in the Bible. But you're the one that has to learn it. And if you're not learning it, you can't push it off on me. Because you're the one that God has said needs to learn. It's up to you to ask questions when you don't understand something. It's up to you to dig into God's Word for answers. It is up to you to develop your study skills so that you can hear what God is telling you on a daily basis. One of the things we do in my Sunday school class, and I love it, and by the way, as many of you as want to come up and be in Sunday school, I invite you to do so. That's one place that we try to grow. And one of the things we do in the class is at the start of the class, I ask, what has God done this week? Give me an example of something that God has done in your life. Because the truth is this, God is alive. God is active. God is well, and He's working in you. And every single day of your life, He is trying to pour something into you that you might pour into others. He presents you on a daily basis with opportunities as His child to be His witness into the world. There's people out on the streets that are needing what you have. And all you got to do is mature just a little bit and learn and grow and be able to take this to the people that need it. We talk about that a lot in Sunday school, and we'd love to have you be a part of it. Another reason for lack of spiritual growth is that the Word just becomes too much of a burden. Let me tell you, when you and God don't agree on a topic, it's not God that has the wrong view. And in the case of understanding, if you're reading a translation of the Bible that you don't understand, get one that you do. How many of you in here, and I'm not picking on any, some of you can do this, and that's fine, but how many of you in here speak Elizabethan English? Verily I say. Yeah. Hark unto you. We don't speak Elizabethan English. And the King James Bible that people have been brought up with is, oh, this is the only Bible, is Elizabethan English. So people read it and they think I'm doing so good because here it is. This is the Bible. It's the King James. Oh, I'd love to tell you some stuff about King James. We won't go into that today. It's the King James Bible. So that's the only one. It's the authority. No, it isn't. It's not. There's translations that are solid and strong and have the meaning. And what you do is you find that translation if you're not understanding what you're reading. Now, some of you say, oh, no, I read the King James and I understand it. And oh, God bless you. Okay, I mean that because that's special. But most people don't understand it. And if you don't understand it, find a translation that you do. I spend a lot of time with the NIV because that speaks well to me. But what you do is, the King James it's a valuable source, and where I see the value in the King James is we don't want to deviate from the truth that exists in there. So if I use another translation, I want to make sure that I have something to compare it to. Find a translation you can read, compare it to the King James, and read something that you understand. I can't tell you how many people have come to me distraught and tears in their eyes saying, I've been reading my Bible all my life and I never understood it until I read it in a language where I could. Listen, reading the Bible should never be a chore. It should be something that we look forward to. My quiet time is mostly the highlight of my day. And if reading the Word has become a burden, then I just plead with you to pray to God to help you read and understand His Word. It's given for a purpose. Pray for Him to show you how to apply His Word. Start a Bible reading plan, you know, Bible through a year. Because there's thousands of them out there. 1 John 5:3 says, this is love for God, to obey His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. How are we going to know His commands? We learn His commands by reading His Word. And if read with the right heart, it's not a burden. You know, sometimes we use our Bible like we try to use Jesus too. It's like, wow, my life is really messed up now. I've got some stuff going on. I better open the Bible and read it. Now, I've not read this thing in 6 months, but it's okay. I'm going to turn it, and it's going to fall to the exact page I want it to, and it's just going to speak to me, and it's going to jump off the pages, and all my problems are going to be over. I'm not saying that can't happen, but I think you're a lot better off if you've been prepping it along the way and reading it. Another reason for not growing spiritually is excuses. Now, folks, I want you to understand something. Excuses are like armpits. We all have them, and they all stink. Now, maybe that's not the best example, but I think you get the point. We tend to make excuses for all sorts of things in our lives. And you would not believe the excuses I have heard over the years for this, that, and the other. And we don't grow spiritually when we make excuses in the area of our faith. Maybe you make excuses about your choice to sin. Oh, God really doesn't care about that one because it's just a little sin. Yeah, it's not big. It's just a little sin. How could God care? He's got bigger things to take care of than my little sin. And we begin to justify and we begin to say, you know what? If I want to do it, I can do it. And what's God going to do anyway? That's an attitude. Young men move in with young women or young women move in with young men and they decide to live together in sin. I'm sorry, sin is sin and that's wrong. Oops. It's the truth. You don't believe me? Look it up in Scripture. One person strikes another person and says, well, they made me do it because they made me mad. No, that's wrong. That's sin. Not my rules, God's rules. We grow spiritually, or we don't grow spiritually when we make excuses in the area of our faith. Maybe you make excuses about your choice of sin, and the Word exposes this sin, that sin, so you turn from it. You know what a kid will do is, often a kid will hide something that they broke, thinking that if no one can see it, then they won't get in trouble. You know what usually happens and how that works out, right? That's the same way with our sin. We think we can hide our sin from God, and if we hide it from God and He doesn't see it and nobody else sees it, then it didn't happen. That's just the truth. We've seen how God's Word exposes all sin, and maybe you use the excuse of, I'm just not getting fed. And all the time, you're being served a full meal, but you're choosing just to drink the milk. It's there. The information's there. The message is there. But the milk is a lot easier to drink. Because if I drink the milk, then I can get away with a lot more. And I don't have to listen to what God wants me to do. Truth is, you need to slide up to the table and to eat when it is served. And you may make excuses about why maybe you don't come to church, or why you don't fellowship in other activities in the church. Why you don't come to Bible studies when they're held. Why you don't take the time to study your own Bible. Common excuses are, I don't have time. Well, there's just too many hypocrites in the church. Wow, what does that make you? Because you've convinced yourself that you're better than everyone else. Excuses. It's boring. It may be, folks, but honest, I'm trying to do the best I can to make it not boring. I want you to enjoy church. I don't like this person or that person, or I don't like the pastor and what he says. You can make excuses if you want. It's your spiritual growth that we're talking about. Or you can stop with the excuses, admit the sin that the Word exposes, and find reasons to whatever it might be instead of excuses to not do something. Then you're taking steps toward the growth that God desires for you. Another reason for stunted spiritual growth is when the Word demands change and we refuse to change. Again, it comes back to the deal breakers. God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to follow you. You're the Lord of my life, and I'm going to do everything you want me to do to this point. I'm going to tell you about my first deal breaker. My first deal breaker. I got past it, and God was good, and He was gracious, and He got me past it. I'll never forget this. I grew up in a home where cussing was not tolerated. You did not say bad words. By the way, today in the world, it means nothing. Except people are stupid. Yeah, I didn't say that. But you did not cuss. And I remember I was in junior high, and I thought, deep down inside, I thought, you know what? If I ever cuss, God is going to strike me dead on the spot. And sure enough, a kid did something, and it made me mad. And I let go of some words I didn't even know I had in me. Some of them I'm not sure I knew what they meant. But I let it fly. And you know what? God didn't strike me dead. He didn't. I got away with it. Like, da 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 da, I got away with it. I did. And so that began a process of me testing to see how many cuss words I could come up with and get away with it. And you know what I did? What did that do to my Christian walk? It began with the words, and with using the foul language and everything that went with it, it began to pull me further away from God. To leading me to the point of being a true hypocrite, because in church, oh, I was a good little saint in church, and everybody just loved me, maybe. But away from church, man, I mastered in profanity. Now, I'm not proud of that today, because at that point that I realized God did not want me to do it, I had an extremely hard time getting away from it. The success came when I finally realized that not only were the words not on my lips, they were not in my heart. And I no longer wanted to use those words. You got your own sin. You've got your own battle that you're fighting. But if you're sitting here today and you're saying you don't, then you're a liar. I'm just being honest. I know people don't like that sometimes. To repent, turn away from our sin, turn toward Jesus, and when you do that, we truly change. And when we truly change, we can't help but grow. You see, when we change our hearts, when we change our minds, when we change our minds and our thoughts and our words and our actions, that's when change takes place. We're transformed by the changing way we think. Romans 12 says we no longer object to the things the Word demands. We stop saying, that's just the way I am. And we start crying out to God to make me into what He wants me to be. No more excuses. God, here I am. I am yours. You're my God who has given me all that you've given me. You've promised me eternal life. You've promised to be here with me in this world. You've promised to carry me through the difficult times. God, here I am, and I stand before you, a sinner. God, forgive me. And change begins to happen. Make me into what you want me to be, God. And there's thousands, maybe even millions of reasons why we don't grow spiritually. Today I have just a few more I want to share. We stunt our growth spiritually when we don't listen. You think God is tapping at your heart every day? Yeah, He is. But we don't listen. We stunt our growth spiritually when we stunt our growth spiritually when God, His Word, and all He stands for becomes a burden. Man, I am too busy to open my Bible up and read it. I got too much going on. God understands because He knows how busy I am. Oh, Lord. You know, I'm just too tired or too busy to pray. My schedule doesn't allow me to do that. I just don't have the time to get down on my knees and pray and talk to you like I should and to read your word. When would I do that? Listen, if those become burdens for you, you're in trouble. You really are. And you're spiritually hurting. We stunt our growth spiritually when we continue to make excuses for our sin. It's okay for me to do it. Everybody else is doing it. God doesn't mind if I do it. He knows understands my situation. We stunt our growth spiritually when we refuse to be changed by the Word of God. And we stunt our growth because we often choose worldly wisdom over godly wisdom. And you may even ask or be asking, what does that mean? Well, listen, I'm going to give you an example. And there's many more, but here's a few. If you are thinking about getting a divorce, the world, your friends will tell you things that, well, you deserve to be happy. They may tell you it's a good idea, or they tell you, no, you can start over. You know, it's kind of like just hit quit and reset. Godly wisdom says that God hates divorce. Godly wisdom says that we should seek counseling, try to fix the relationship. Godly wisdom says that we are to love like He loves, and when we do that, we are far less likely to need and to want a divorce. You know what? If couples would just take the time to go to 1 Corinthians 13, beginning with verse 5 or 4, Let's back them up to verse 1. And they would read through that passage, and they would live, and they would love, and they would believe the way that passage teaches them to. You would not find the rate of divorce and the problems that we have in the world today if people were only living by that. Love is patient, love is kind, love is long-suffering. It keeps no record of wrong, and it goes on and on and on, and it tells you what love is. But people are trying to guess their way through it. Oh, love is a feeling. No, so much more. All we got to do is open God's Word. Godly wisdom says that God just hates divorce. In other areas, and I just lost my place. In other areas of the world, areas the world says, if it feels good, do it. God calls it sin. And like I say, Satan has mastered sin with covering it with beauty or making it feel good. The world says everyone else is doing it. And God says we're to come from among them and be different. The world says, well, at least I'm not as bad as he or she is. And God says we're all sinners. He says we fall short, and then he gives us a way to get right. That's his living word, and that's Jesus Christ. You see, taking the wisdom of the world is a pattern for disaster in our spiritual walk. And adopting the pattern of the world can stop our spiritual growth. Paul says in Romans 12, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. If we want to grow spiritually and get all that God has for us, we must rely on his wisdom and turn our backs on the so-called wisdom of the wicked world. The next is such a common reason for not growing spiritually that it's really scary. And it really is. Possibly the scariest of any excuse we have. That's when we think we've grown enough. We think that we're already smart enough. Well, I can tell you the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Oh, good, you know how to read. But that doesn't mean you understand. We think we're already mature enough. We think that we've reached the finish line. You see, a lot of people think because they have been Christians for years that makes them spiritually mature. And this comes from pride and nothing else, folks. That's all there is. Back in Hebrews 5, our writer thumps those who want to say or worse yet believe that instead of moving towards real maturity. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things of God's Word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. Let me tell you, spiritual maturity has nothing to do with age or the time that you've been a believer. I have run into Christians and no Christians 80, 90 years old that have been believers for years and years and years, and they're still spiritual infants. They're spiritual infants, and they're still on milk. And I know teenagers that have been saved just a short time, and man, they are spiritual giants. And they're feeding on prime rib because they're ready for it. Time is not the indicator of spiritual maturity. You see, you may have been a believer for years, but you stopped at the cross. Well, what do I mean? Many Christians think of the cross as the finish line. They get saved and then they stop. They stop growing, stop learning, stop maturing. They get used to the milk and they come to actually prefer it. They get stunted. You know, don't have any pressure on me as a Christian. You know, no pressure Christianity is really bad. It really is. Because God wants to push us. Not being transformed by this world again, or by the Word. If we're not transformed by the Word, then what changes us? Others, regardless of age, come to the cross and see it as a starting point of the Christian walk. And they have a passion for the Word, and they have a passion for the work. And as a result, they grow. And in that growth, they find the greater things that Jesus has for them. High-pressure Christianity. And this is where we find the meat, the solid food. And it is that meat that makes us grow. Folks, ask yourself today, am I still drinking milk or am I feeding on the meat? Verse 13 says, anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who, by constant use, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So you're thinking, all right, Pastor, you've told us about why we don't grow spiritually, not listening, letting God be a burden, making excuses, refusing to change, choosing the world over the Lord, thinking we're already there, and in doing so, have shown you how to grow. But really, Pastor, and this is what some think, really, Pastor, I just want to come to church. I don't want to be changed. I don't want to grow. Pastor, is there anything wrong with that? You know what? By the way, these are questions I've had to answer in the past. And I'm glad they asked. If all we consume is milk, our growth becomes stunted, and in doing so, we become susceptible to much worse things. Due to their poor health, we become weak and susceptible to other more serious problems. Because we're weak and susceptible and still on milk, other things happen. If all we consume is milk, our growth becomes stunted and life becomes bad. And this is what happens to us when we stunt our spiritual growth by not moving from milk to meat, by not moving to solid food. We become weak and susceptible to the lies of Satan and to this evil world if all we're doing is drinking milk. We become unproductive in our Christian life. And we may be saved, but we're not doing anything for God. What have you done? What have you done this week for God? By the way, when we have Sunday school class this morning, you know what kind of question I'm going to ask, because I'm going to ask the same question. Where did God touch you this week? If we do not move on to the meat and get away from the milk, no longer seeing sin separating us from God, or worse, no longer caring, we drift away, we lose focus, we lose priority, we lose passion and commitment and compassion, and we harden our hearts, losing our purity. We lose our tolerance for the Word of God. And we don't stand on our faith or stand up for our faith. We often allow others to sell us their lies. To wrap it up, one little simple sentence here. If something is not growing, it's dying. So today, where are you? Are you still feeding on just plain milk? Or are you grabbing hold of the meat? I'll make a prediction for you. And only you can handle this and only you can answer this. But if you're just doing nothing but feeding on milk, What I truly predict for you is a bad future. That's the truth. as long as all we do is the superficial thing of I believe in Jesus and I'm saved, that's got everything covered. Your future is not going to be bright. Your future walk in God is, by the way, in jeopardy. It really is. If you are not living and eating the meat to grow spiritually, you're dying spiritually. Oh, no, not me, Pastor. Okay. I've been at this for a little while, and I've seen a lot of people fall away, all because they did not want to take God seriously. So this morning, the question is this: where are you at? You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell anybody. You know in your heart where you're at. You know if you're growing or if you're not growing. You know if you're studying God's word and trying to obey it. You know if you're being involved in the church and trying to do the ministry of the church. You know what it is with God in your life, and you know whether you're getting the meat or the milk. Are you a baby? Still an infant? Or are you growing? Would you bow your heads? In a moment, we're going to come to a table of communion. Now, communion is offered to all believers. It's offered to all those that want to come and realize that they're not examples of perfection, but that they're witnesses of grace. And that we come to the table in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're all a part of His great family, His whole family, the Church of God. So we want to remember, and as we do so, and invite everyone who strives to follow Him to join in this memorial of the broken body and the shed blood of Christ. But before we do so, I want you to take just this moment and answer the question, am I a believer? Have I been cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ? Is my life the life that God wants it to be? We're not saying we're perfect. We're not. But what we're saying is that we do believe in God and we have received Jesus as Savior. As I pray, I just ask that you would pray your own prayer and in that prayer that you examine yourself before God to see that you could be who He has created you to be. Heavenly Father, it is not milk that we desire, but it is meat. It is not the world we want to follow, it is You. And Lord, I just ask that You would sweep across this room and You would touch the heart of those who are here. Just let them feel Your presence. And Lord, as we prepare to go to this table of communion, let each one examine themselves, that they might be found holy in Your sight, that they might be used, Lord, to bring glory and honor to You. We lift this up to You in Jesus' name.